Who am I? Adam. Man. Who is it? Where are we? Eden? Why am I here? Just to enjoy you and all of your creation. Oh, I had 10,000 questions to ask. I asked God every question I could think of. Every day we would talk together. He would answer the questions that I would start to ask. I would ask him, God, where did you come from? Who made you? And he said that he always was. That I was a creature and he the creator. He explained to me that before Eden and before earth was God and God only. No universe or time, only God. And that one day he spoke and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he said, let there be earth and waters and plants and animals. And as soon as he spoke, they all became reality. And then he explained to me that it was good, but that it wasn't good enough. And so he wanted to make the crowning pinnacle of his creation something that was the best of everything, something that was like God, in his image, thinking as he thinks and feeling as he feels and choosing as he chooses. He wanted to make the most magnificent creation of all. He wanted to make me. And so one day, he formed me from the dust of the earth. He bent over me. And he breathed into me his breath, his life, the Spirit of God in me, beyond anything I could ever describe to you. The warmth, the vitality, the excitement, the thrill of God in me. You began as an infant. I began as an adult. From that first day, I had speech and emotions. And I made choices and I thought things through, but there were so many blanks, so many questions to ask, so many things to do, so many places to go. God was so incredible and wonderful. It was astonishing. My home was the garden. Eden, we called it. It was a magnificent place. There were all the animals and the trees. God said that it was mine. Well, not mine to own, but mine to be the boss. Mine to take care of. In fact, it was I who chose to name the animals. It was I who enjoyed everything. It was just for me. He said that I could have everything. I could eat whatever I wanted. I could go wherever I pleased with one small exception. It was simply mine for the taking. That exception was over in the middle of the garden. A plant, not a particularly impressive plant to look at. He called it, he named it, not I, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I thought it a strange name for a strange, strange plan. But didn't give it much concern, although one day I did ask God. I said, what is evil? And he said that that was something that I could not understand. That that wasn't part of Eden, and that wasn't part of me. And that I would simply have to trust him. But that's the way it was, and that's the better of all the ways that it could be. I've got to tell you what was the very best part of the garden. The very best part was the time that I could spend alone with God. He would come every day, sometimes twice and three times in the same day. We would talk together. We would go for walks back and forth. I would ask him questions, but he asked me questions as well. He would ask me how I was doing and what I liked and what I didn't like and where I'd been and what I was thinking about doing the next day. And he took a special delight in the development of my personality, my own individual identity. I wasn't some puppet on a string. I was me. And God took great pleasure in me being me. And I took great pleasure in God being God. It was paradise. It was more wonderful than ever you could understand, beyond any description, for it was I alone, paradise. But somehow, there was something missing. I was alone. I was alone in the garden. Oh, not that God wasn't there, not that God wasn't sufficient, because indeed he was everything to me. But I was still alone. There was a difference between God and me, and there was no one else quite like me. You see, God made me that way, and God decided to meet that need. One night I went to sleep, and oh, did I sleep. I mean, I had never slept. It was one deep, long sleep. And that night he took part of my side. Not from my head to be over me, nor from my feet to be under me, but from my side to stand next to me. I asked him what was coming. He said it was going to be a surprise. And actually, he could have told me, because I would have had no idea what he was talking about. Well, anyway, I wake up the next morning. And was I surprised? I stared for a very long time. She was just like me. Although there were a lot of differences. I spoke to her. And she talked. Her name is Eve. And we became one. And I was complete. And paradise was all in my path. To share God with all of his creation. Yes, paradise. It's the best word to describe it. We spoke together with God and we traveled its path. We never had a moment or a day that was dull or not exciting. The depth of our love was beyond words to describe. But then one day even I was going our separate ways, and she encountered the serpent. I must say, the serpent was one of the most magnificent of God's creatures. Beautiful. Tall, high, It wasn't surprising at all to her that the serpent spoke to her that day. What was something of a surprise was what the serpent said. For the serpent spoke of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. And he said to Eve that that tree had fruit on it, and although we had been told not to even touch it, much less eat its fruit, that nevertheless, if we did, we would become like God. And that the only reason God forbade our eating fruit of the tree was that we would be like Him. She wondered if there could be more to paradise than already there was. She wondered, and she was tempted. And she took, and she ate. It was not too terribly long after that I came upon him. She was crying. I said, "Eve, what's that?" She said, "Nothing." I said, "You're crying. I mean, something has got to be the matter." And she said, "You wouldn't understand." And she was right, you know. I couldn't understand. She reeled out her story. She wept. And I wondered. I too wondered if there could be more to paradise. I wondered what it was that God had and that Eve had that I didn't have. And I too was tempted. There was like a boiling cauldron inside of me. One side said, "No, no, no." God said, "You can have it all in paradise except that one tree and its fruit." Another part of me that said, "He's got it. And she's got it. And I want it too." And so I made the decision. The first seconds, I didn't sense that anything was that different. To realize what I had done. Temptation had become tragic. I wanted to go back. I wanted to know more of it. I wanted to undo everything that I had done. I sensed for the first time in my entire life fear. I was frightened. I knew that everything was different from the inside out. It was a horrible realization and a tragic feeling. I took Eve by the hand and we ran to hide from God. We sensed our nakedness. And while you laugh and make jokes about our nakedness, before that it was a beautiful thing. And after that, I don't know, but it was so much our nakedness won for me. Father, it was our nakedness before God. So we covered up ourselves. We hid and we talked and we thought how we could undo, how we could somehow keep from God what we had done. But God came that day. Came and called us out of our hiding. He asked why we were hiding. I did one more thing that I was not very proud of. I thought to myself, if God could put the responsibility on her, let her die. Let him take me another Eve that somehow that I not take the plan. But I was the plan. It was our trouble. Oh, the tragedies of what happened thereafter. But I can tell you, paradise was lost. God spoke to Martin. He said there would be a curse as a consequence. He said that the serpent would crawl in his belly and put on him. He said that the labor in the garden had such a joy, such fun for him. It would now be difficult by the sweat of my brow for the rest of my life. He said the birth of our children, which we had so looked forward to, would now come with pain. He said that we would die. And although it was almost 1,000 years before my grave was dug, I knew that day what it meant to die. I could see death in my body and in Eve's. I could feel it in my soul. God and I had a wall between us that I never knew could be there. He expelled us from the garden, those walks that we took, the questions that I asked. Sharing it was so wonderful. But I don't want to give you the impression that everything was just awful. After that, there were good times. We still loved each other. God was gracious and merciful. He did kind things. He provided still for our clothes and for our food, for our family. I think that our greatest hope was on that day when our son was to be born. We thought that perhaps he would not have our disease and that it would be starting all over again. I remember the day that Cain was born. We had never experienced anything like this before. We had seen the animals give birth, but I had my breath taken away by how difficult it was and how long it took. And she cried out, and I couldn't help her. I thought that day that she was going to die. And Cain was wonderful. Here he was, our hope that was starting all over again. It was a fresh beginning, no sin, no tragedy, perhaps even back to the garden again. Your other children, Abel, Seth, the daughters and the other sons. And then came what I have control. Trouble controlling my emotions, he was telling me. It came that day, my beloved son, Abel, died. I know that some of you have lost sons and daughters, and you understand something of my pain. But remember that we have never experienced it before. And did you know that he was murdered? I can hold his blood. And that wasn't the worst of it. The man who murdered him, he too was our son. The king, our hope, firstborn. Between us. Who is he who is today? All of this in exchange. Spoken long to you. Soon you should say goodnight. You know, I thought there was no hope. But my, how I had underestimated God. For from the very beginning, he had a plan. He had a new paradise in mind, a new Adam. He was to do astonishing things. How great God. Let me tell you two matters. The first is guilt. I know you blame me, and rightly so. I'm sorry, so sorry. I won't even ask for your forgiveness. But I hope you will not misunderstand what I say. That I'm not trying to lessen my responsibility. But you too are guilty. Or there is a sense, someday ask God, he can explain it far better than I. There is a sense in which you were in me. That we were all together that day in paradise, in the garden. That you share the guilt as much as I. And that you have reaffirmed that 10 million times throughout the century. And that if it were you in the garden, do you think that you would have done any differently than I? The guilt is mine, I do not deny it. But the guilt is yours as well. And the other matter is salvation. From the very start. There were some obscure lines that were spoken that day in the garden. I'm surprised I remember them because with all that was happening, it could easily have been forgotten. I didn't even know what they meant. There were words that God spoke to the serpent. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Between her offspring and your offspring, and he will strike at his heel, but that he, the other, will crush the serpent's head. Those words kept coming back to me for centuries after that as I tried to figure them out, tried to understand what was meant. It was a long time later that I began to realize that God was predicting that someday on a hill outside a city called Jerusalem, yet to be built, at a place called Calvary, there would be another eternal turning point. It would be a conflict between Satan and God. And that Satan would strike like a serpent at the Savior's heel to take him, to kill him. But that the Savior would crush the serpent's head and win forever the battle against sin. Oh, I never dreamed that someday God would make a new Adam. That he would join together his deity and your humanity. The person called Jesus. Who would die to undo what we and Eden had done. that He would save us from our sin and take us to a new path. I say goodnight, and again I say, I'm sorry. And I ask you, as your Father, to hate sin and to love God and to come and spend eternity with God and with me.
This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, He called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. And he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. Would you stand with me, please, for prayer? Creator God, we thank you for making Adam. We thank you for making us. Thank you for making us aware of our sin and of the sin that we inherited from our father Adam. But thank you for the second Adam who gave his life that we might know cleansing from sin and that we might know fellowship again with you. And so we go from this place to live this week, rejoicing and cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for salvation from Adam's sin and from our sin. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good night, and God bless you.